Dog Works Radio Network presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Mushing Radio here on KVRF 89.5 in the Matsu Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org is our live streaming site. You can find us all the time on iTunes as well as over on mushingradio.com. Make sure you follow us over on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for Mushing Radio in the search bar. As everybody knows that is a fan of this show, we are dead in the middle of Iditarod. It just started this past Monday, and the mushers are making their way down the river, heading up towards the Yukon. The first mushers are right now in between Tanana and Ruby, a 119-mile run on a trail that's headed towards the midpoint, where a lot of mushers will take, not the midpoint, the first section of the trail, where a lot of the mushers will take their mandatory 24-hour layover that is required by the Iditarod. Besides that, today we have a special guest. We're going to talk about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on to put on a race like the Iditarod and some of the mid-distance races here in South Central Alaska. He is a lot of people call them the trail boss. He's the one that gets the trail ready and makes sure that it is a smooth race from start to finish. And he's starting up a brand-new race coming in 2016 called the Tala Vista Challenge, or the TNT. It's going to run from the Tug Bar to the Tala Vista Lodge and back. It's supposed to be a 300-mile race and a brand-new Iditarod qualifier, which we must have here in Alaska, with so many of them getting canceled for weather and all sorts of other things. So we're looking forward to finding out more about that. So without further ado, his name is Lewis Schrader, calling in from pretty much the mushing capital of the world down in Kinnick, Alaska. Lewis, how's it going?
It's going quite well today. A little bit sunny out here today, and getting ready to head out and do some fun on the trail somewhere.
Very cool. You know, we have a little bit of snow left up here in Willow. We went out and took the teams out yesterday and hope to go as soon as we get off the air here. How are the trails down your way, at least in terms of mushing?
Well, in terms of mushing right now down in the Kinnick area, the trails are very, very icy and bumpy. There's a lot of spots that are still doable once you get into tree lines where the it's shaded and protected from the wind. The trails are rock hard, very bumpy, not much snow, but you can put a hook down and you can hold a team down. It's just getting out to those tree lines that's the problem. Those are very, very icy and treacherous, and I know once you start getting a little bit up further north, Yetna River is actually in very, very good shape right now. And out Alexander Loop area, that's a really wonderful area to go play right now. So I would suggest probably Willow Swamps, launching from there and heading out that way.
Awesome.
If I was going to go out and play today.
Of course. So let's get right into this, Lewis. I am interested in not only your brand new race, I hope to run in it myself, but I want to talk to you, and in particular our listeners, about all the work that goes into setting up a trail. You know, a lot of people think you just come up, you sign up, you run the race, and you're done, but there are weeks and months of logistics and planning and getting everything to and fro. So let's jump right into it, Lewis. Give us a little bit of a history. What have you been involved in the sport of mushing? How far does that go back, and where do your interests lie?
Well, I started out mushing back in the mid-90s. Gail Hookman and Phil Hookman down on the Kenai Peninsula took me underneath their arms, and Phil is quite the trail person himself, and they taught me a lot about how to build trails and how to maintain trails, but especially they put the knowledge of mushing underneath my belt, and I became a sprint musher, and I was actually pretty prominent down on the Kenai Peninsula. I did some damage to myself in a dog race. I ended up breaking my neck in two spots, and decided I needed to change change ways. And working with the dogs for so long, I really wanted to keep working with them. And I found my niche on a snow machine doing trails. And I found that doing the trails is a lot more than a lot of people think. We spend hundreds of hours going out there at the beginning of the season, clearing deadfall off the trails, filling in ditches, drilling ice, checking for thickness of the ice to make sure that the trail is adequate to support dog teams and snow machine and all the freight logistics that go along with putting on remote dog races. And I've been doing that now, involved with the Kinnick 200. I'm retired from that race. I worked for them for a little over 10 years. And I'm also working with the Northern Lights 300 as their trail boss. And I'm also very privileged to be the race marshal for the Goose Bay 150, which is now a qualifier for Iditarod. And just after 23 years of doing trails, I started realizing that there's a very, very strong need for qualifying races for rookies. And the demands of both Iditarod and Yukon Quest want the teams to have developed 200-300-mile races. And it's getting harder and harder and harder for those rookies to qualify because of this reason. And being involved with the Northern Lights 300, I've seen a lot of the logistics and understanding on just how and what it takes to put a dog race on, and finding out that there's hundreds and hundreds of hours that people will never know about, both in starting a bank account, starting up where you can receive donations, different things. Where do people send money for sign up? How to start a website? All the snow machine activity that needs to be done prior to a race, hauling in straw, medical supplies, camp setups for volunteers. All these things cost tons of money. And I'm just starting to learn about all those, and I understand what it takes now, and I'm willing to take the reins and try and make this work this next year, and have a qualifier for Iditarod and another chance for rookies to qualify for Iditarod. And one of my main reasons for doing this is because I know one time, and I was a rookie to the sport, and I needed all the help I could get. And I just hate to see my knowledge go to the wayside and watch mushing go to the wayside and end up something in the history books that my daughter teaches her kids when they're old enough to know about it. I'd rather have them be able to go down and watch a dog race and see if they want to get involved with it. And the love of the dogs and watching the dogs do what they do out of pure love and excitement is the biggest, I guess, the award I could ever imagine getting. So I just want to stay involved and keep something going. That.
Oh, go ahead, Lewis. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, it's all just a new learning experience for me on this end of the reins. I've put myself under the hood of a lot of different dog races, and I understand all the logistics parts and everything about putting trails in and what it takes. And I don't really know that much about the business end of it, and I'm learning rapidly, and I really want this race to become something that will stick around in the future. We plan on using a lot of different parts of the old historic Iditarod trails and the old Iditarod race trail that just hasn't really been used very much in the last 15 years or so. We want to open up some new country so that other mushers that are training, that are veterans of these races, have a chance to see some new country and make it something that all the different lodges out on the river systems can use the support. A lot of the checkpoints for Iditarod haven't got used this year because of that, and these lodges are These dog races are a big part of their livelihood, and I just want to try and help them out too, and show their my appreciation for what they've done in the past.
So,
and go ahead.
If I could interject here just for a minute, Lewis, I have so many questions. I want to make sure that we get them in and definitely talk about when and how your race is going to start here in 2016. As you know, Lewis, here in South Central Alaska, we are in a very short time frame in terms of getting races in before Iditarod, in particular their qualifying races, because many of the folks that run the qualifiers are working with other mushers that are running Iditarod, et cetera. So we have about, I don't know, a six-week time period there where folks can actively race here in South Central, starting about the first weekend of the year, which is typically the Kinnick 200, and then in sometime mid-February, smack dab when the Yukon Quest is happening. My first question to you, Lewis, is when can we fit in another 300-mile race when the calendar is already so packed full of races that are already happening?
Boy, that's where a lot of time on the internet comes into play. Not only dealing with other dog races in the area, both Iditarod, Yukon Quest, all the different mid-distance races throughout Alaska. There's also other races that need to be considered too, which are the Alaska Motor Mushers Club, Iron Dog, the different poker runs that go out on a lot of these main trails, the arteries out here. So it's a lot of time on the computer trying to figure it out. And the best that I've kind of narrowed down, I've got two different dates kind of penciled in. And I'm thinking possibly trying to get fit in February 8th or February 6th to February 8th next year. To start the first race, and an alternative date just in case we have some trail problems, possibly the 20th to the 22nd.
My next question, Lewis, has to do with availability, and I'm sure that if you followed mushing at all this year, you know how quickly these races signed up and filled up. I know the Kinnick 200 filled up in less than an hour, and the Tustamina as well as the Copper Basin, even though it signed up at midnight, I believe they were full by maybe 12:30, you know, just a half an hour. They were totally full. So there is definitely a lot of interest there. So I really have a two-part question to this. But my first one is how do you guys to plan on dealing with that, with so many mushers trying to get in such little time?
Well, I know for starters, we're not really going to have a very big money purse. And my main goal of this race is to make it a qualifier for rookies. It's going to be limited to probably around 20 to 25 positions in the race. And I think a way I would like to see it happen is that it's more of an interview. The people who want to sign up for the race, what are you using the race for? If you're a rookie using it for a qualifier, you've got top priority in getting into this race, as far as I'm concerned, because that's what this race is about. It's a rookie race for qualification. So if somebody just wanted to come and say, hey, I want to run the race, how much is the purse? Oh, yeah, I did a ride five, six times. Well, you could still be on the list as a training run for your dogs, but if there's the main thing is to get 20 to 25 rookies signed up for the race.
That does partly answer my question there, Lewis, because as you know, so many of these races, mini mushers fill up four or five spots for their teams. You know, the larger kennels out there, they'll fill up four or five of the 20, 30, 40 spots, and that fills up very quickly. So I do like that process of rookies first and that possibility of an interview. I think things like that need to happen, because when you're signing up on the internet, and it's really how quick you can hit that PayPal button on whether you're going to get a spot or not. So I do definitely like this process and the way you guys are planning on going about that. Any comment on that before we continue?
Yeah, the one thing about that is that you have to remember, if you're going to have a lot of rookies in a race, you're going to have a lot of people that you're going to need to help watch them, observe them, mentor them. If somebody who did run the Iditarod, let's say 5-6 times, want to sign up for the race, one of the main questions would be asked of them: would you be willing to do a mentorship during the race? Because I do feel that people who are very, very knowledge in dog mushing need to be part of this race too, so that the rookies can learn and be taught and corrected, especially on their techniques or little problems that they might have, how they deal with it. And having those, as I call them, the big guns out there that are willing to help mentor, is going to make the race. So it's going
to
be an involved situation. And like I said, this is the first time for me, so everybody be gentle.
And that's a tough road to haul when you're involved with mushing, especially when you got a whole bunch of competitors involved. We're talking to Lewis Schrader today here on Mushing Radio. We're talking about a brand new race that we're going to get into here in just a second. But my last question before we talk about the Tala Vista Challenge or the TNT race is, you know, Lewis, there are so few qualifiers, not only in Alaska, but in the country in general, in the lower 48, when you think about the Race to the Sky and the Bear Grease and the Can-Am and things like that. Can you tell our listeners, especially those up-and-coming mushers that are looking to do some qualifiers, maybe some checkpoints, I guess, on what it takes to become a qualifier for the Iditarod? What is that process and what is included in that?
Well, the main things to becoming a qualifier is that they're looking to see if you are able to take care of your team, you're able to take care of yourself, and you're also able to apply first aid to your animals and yourself when needed. A lot of the qualifications from my end as a race marshal, I have to look for all different kinds of things. I have to look for how a musher handles sleep deprivation, how they have the right gear for cold weather environments, how they handle cold weather, how they react to stressful situations. Any race that I'm involved in, I can guarantee will never be a cakewalk because of this. It needs to be challenging for the rookie so that they realize that, hey, if I can't do 10 miles of this, I might have to do 85 miles of this on the Iditarod.
Right.
So it's your mindset, being ready and prepared for just about anything that could get thrown at you, which probably will eventually in your dog mushing career. It's better to know how you're going to react, and that's the biggest part of qualification is showing to the race officials that you are able to maintain your team and keep yourself in a level-headed manner, and that's really about it.
So let's jump right into your race that you're organizing almost a year ahead of time. I guess you say it early February. Here we are, early to mid-March. It's going to be called the Tala Vista Challenge or the TNT, the Tug to Tala Vista. Can you give us kind of an overview of where it's going to start, where it's going to end, and what's the trail like? You know, a lot of folks that have mushed on the tug bar end, but they may have not raced, you know, up further north there towards the Tala Vista Lodge. Can you tell us a little bit about the trail and what you expect here a year from now?
Sure. Well, the good grace of Mother Nature, we hope that we have enough snow, of course. But the race will leave from the tug bar. It will go out and go up to the Iditarod Trail, the Iditarod Race Trail, and go out the Iditarod Race Trail and head out to the Big Sioux via Trail 11. We're going to cut into using Trail 11, backside of the Willow Swamp, kind of like the Goose Bay 150 uses. Go down, once it gets to the Big Sioux, we're going to be going up the Yetna River. We're going to be using Yetna Station as a 50-mile checkpoint. We'll see how that goes, what supplies that we can get in there. But it'll be a checkpoint there. Then from there, the teams will go do the overland trail to Tal Vista. And that will go up and run a loop over towards, I can't remember the name of it, up towards Beluga. And then it'll do a route that'll actually come down the Tal Vista River to the Tal Vista Lodge. The Tal Vista Lodge will be roughly about 100 miles at that point, and that'll be the halfway point, checkpoint. But it'll also be the 150-mile checkpoint because there's another loop that they're going to do up up above using parts of the old Iditarod Trail and then come back down to Tal Vista for the 150. And then they'll have the halfway checkpoint and their time differential set there. And then they'll just turn around and do the whole thing all over again.
So what is the terrain like up that way? I haven't been up in that area. Is it windy and curvy, or is it mountainous? Is it open swamp? What's it like after you leave Yetna there?
After you leave Yetna and you get up on top of the hill up by Alexander Lake, it's windy on the way up, but once you get up, it opens up into swamps with your little spruce trees growing in little clumps, and then it opens up into more meadows, swamps, and just kind of keeps going on the, just like an open plain. The snow is really, really deep traditionally up in that area, and Chris from the Tal Vista Lodge is going to be the trail master for this race, and he puts in an incredibly good trail, and he knows that area quite well. Once you get up into the meadows, it's wonderful, and then you come back down towards the Talitchina River, of course, once you start getting towards any type of creek or river, you start running into the big cottonwoods and all the stands of deep trees, and you go back through the windies again. And then you get down onto the river, and that's usually pretty open along the river.
Right.
So,
and then as you mentioned, pretty much a loop up there, then back down, then a loop back around, and then all the way back down to do the 150 all over again. And you had mentioned the weekend of February 6th through February 8th, typically a 300-mile race from start to finish. What is that, about 2.5 days or so with all the mandatory stops?
Yeah, it's usually about 2.5 days, 3 days depending on the weather conditions. If they're on a real hard packed trail, it could take 2.5 days, maybe a little bit less. If they get into a real strong snowstorm and it slows them down, it could take them almost 3 days. So 2.5 to 3 days is the average on a 300-mile dog race.
And you had mentioned that you want to do about 25 teams. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. And do you have any idea now? I know it's very early, but I'm sure once folks hear this, they're going to be chomping at the bit thinking about how do I sign up and, you know, all the questions that begin to flow. Do you have any ideas on dates there? It's typically done in early fall. you know, the Northern Lights opens it up end of September, early October. When are you guys thinking about doing that?
Well, we're shooting for about the same time. Possibly a little bit earlier. It's all logistics, and that's the parts that I'm all new to, once again.
Right.
But we're definitely working on trying to get it opened up so it's the fall time that that they can sign up for it.
You know, Lewis, we're just about out of time. I do appreciate you coming on today. We don't often hear about the behind the scenes. Stuff that goes on into mushing. My last question, and we have about 4 minutes, and then, of course, you can definitely talk about anything you like. What do you think is going to be the biggest challenge to go from this point forward, about 11 months in, for you guys to make this happen? Of course, we can't negotiate with Mother Nature, but what's your biggest challenge as a race committee or as a race itself to really get this thing off the ground and rocking and rolling?
Financial, having the money to acquire the needs for the race, the 1,500 trail markers, fuel for the snow machines, straw, medical supplies, all those cost money. That's the biggest challenge I'm having.
Do you have any idea on budget for that? I know you have a GoFundMe page where you're accepting donations. Do you have any idea of what it's going to cost to get this going?
Boy, it could take anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 to put on a race, and that's not lightly because you have to have housing for all the volunteers. You have to have a way to get the volunteers in and out. You have to have a way to get drop dogs in and out, food supplies in and out. All that costs money, especially if you start adding aircraft into the mix. So anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000. I know I could do it on 5,000 if I had to, but it'd be tight and it wouldn't give you any room for mistakes.
Are you guys offering any type of corporate or business type sponsorship where folks can promote their business in a way and also be able to give towards the race?
Oh boy, I'd love that. I would entertain any corporations that want to get involved with this. Of course, they get top priority on signage at the start and at the finish. Website our link on our webpage to their webpage. Any type of corporation sponsorship is very much needed.
Very good, Lewis. Anything else to add before we close?
Oh boy! Keep the sport alive. It's the furballs up front that do most of the work, and they do it out of love. And if it wasn't for them, a lot of things wouldn't have happened up here in Alaska. And we need to keep that heritage rolling.
I totally agree with you. I love the sport. I love everything involved with it, and I do so much appreciate you guys stepping forward to put up a new race. I think that's going to be so important here in South Central Alaska. We need that so much. Lewis, it's been a pleasure. I'll make sure we pass along some links, and maybe we'll have you on again later in the fall so we can promote this a little bit more and get you back on and get you some airtime to talk about it. How's that?
All right, fantastic.
All right, Lewis Schrader calling in. He's talking about the Tala Vista Challenge or the Tug to Tala Vista 300, which is going to come up in early February 2016. It is not too early to plan next year's mushing season, so get involved and see how you can not only mush in the race but also help out. We'll make sure we place links on our website to do so. Thank you very much. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.